Donald, did you get your new GT shipment?
Yeah, man. Especially that Aquakeef, man. I love it. I love it. I love it to death.
And Gingerberry and Gingerade and Trilogy.
GT's really got it down when it comes to quenching my thirst and filling my body with probiotics.
GT is great for your gut because it has probiotics in it. And a healthy gut can help with less bloating, digestion support, boosted immunity, improve your mood, your skin, and just your overall health. So you can learn more about GTs at gtslivingfoods.com/loveyourguts and pick up a bottle at your local grocery store in the refrigerated section.
Get ready to laugh and learn. I'm Nick Smith.
I am Flamin' Road. I am he, she, we. He cash the check, she make the money, we spend it.
Laugh and Learn is a weekly podcast bringing you the latest headlines, keeping you politically informed, mixed in with a little pop culture. You never know what you're going to hear. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Find Laugh and Learn on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Now every customer, both new and existing, get the same great deal on the best devices.
Welcome to Love Suhaiti Talks of Raw here on Revolver Podcast. I'm Suhaiti, your go-to chica for all things love, and I'm here to dish on love, sex, relationships, motherhood, career, and everything in between to help you live an authentic life. Always raw, always real, it's Love Suhaiti. Hey everyone, I know it's been a while, but life has been very interesting lately. Lots of ups and downs, and I'm trying to just kind of center myself with all the chaos. So that's why the podcast hasn't been around weekly and definitely has not been as much of a priority as it should be and used to be because, again, life's ups and downs and my personal life, my family, my son comes first. And I'm focusing on that, on bettering my life, my son's life, so I can have a better future. And I don't have to stay stuck in a negative situation if I don't want to. I'm not going to go into it a little bit. Nah, I'm not going to go into it. I want to focus this episode on Ask Suhaiti. Yes, I have gotten tons of questions, relationship and dating questions. Some that have resonated with me because it's something I've either been through or actually something that I'm going through now or will go through soon. Again, I'll talk about that on another podcast. It's going to be a lot of shocking, like, moments, but I come on here to be super candid and hopefully doesn't bite me in the ass that I am that honest about my relationship on this podcast and on everything that I do and on every platform. That's what I meant, ladies and gents. All right, so Ask Suhaiti time. Drum roll, please. Let the questions begin. Hi, Suhaiti. I love, love, love your podcast. Please keep it up. You have a faithful listener here. They've brought me a lot of personal insight about self-reflections and past relationships. I do have a question. I recently broke up with my son's father, whom I was with for almost 3 years. My son is a month and a half younger than Evan. That's my son. FYI, if y'all don't know that we're listening. I broke up with him, and by him she means her son's father, about 8 months ago, honestly due to lack of effort on his part in spite of my constant reminders or nagging, depends on who you ask, to him on how I felt, be it lack of sex or affection or even help with the baby. There was little to no effort in return. He blames me for not giving him time to do his part. My question to him was and still is, isn't 3 years long enough? My question to you is, how soon is too soon to move on if I fell out of love for him? I try to keep us together, especially for the sake of my son, being that I did not grow up with my dad. He died when I was 4 years old. I wanted my son to know how it's like having a dad around, but unfortunately, that's not possible. Don't get me wrong, he is around, but barely shows affection towards him. It's like he's there in body, but not completely all there. No sé si me explico. You do, hon. As recently as 2 months ago, I met this guy and everything is going very well. However, because I'm a single mom and barely have friends and family around to help watch him for a few hours, I had to take him with me on one of our dates. He, being a dad himself, was very much okay with this and completely understood that I had no sitter. So, Haiti, I tell you, he was great with my son. In the few hours we spent together, he played more with my son than his own dad ever did or has. And it honestly made me like him more. He has all the qualities I look for in a man. However, being that I've had so many relationships and that have led to failure, I have to admit I'm a little afraid. I think I'm especially afraid because it's also the first time a potential someone has met the most important person in my life, my son. And also because I don't want to keep making the same mistakes over and over again. I hope all this I've written isn't confusing, but it's the best way I can explain it. Any advice would be much appreciated. Oh, and she wrote, and if you do put the story in my podcast, please keep my name anonymous. Don't worry, girl. You're going to keep anonymous. Stay anonymous. Just listen, which you do, and you'll know that I'm talking to you without saying your name. Okay, so you emailed me this question a couple of weeks ago. And the crazy thing is how life works, that what you're going through is pretty much what I'm going through without saying too much. No, me and Boo are not broken up, but there's a lot of the same things in terms of not feeling affection or not getting sex. Yes, I'm talking about my situation right now because it so correlates to yours. So how soon is too soon? I'm not even going to dwell on your relationship. I'm not even going to talk about the stuff with your ex because you have made the decision already to move on. You made the decision to leave him after 3 years, even though he's the father of your child. And let me give you some kudos and a clap, some finger snaps right here. And I don't know how to snap my fingers. So this is something that I'm doing this for you because it takes muchos cojones, mi amor, to be able to say, you know what? I deserve better. I need X, Y, and Z. Whatever your X, Y, and Z is, the fact that you stood up for yourself after feeling like you gave it your all and you tried your best and the other person wasn't meeting you halfway and you still decided to walk away. It takes some women decades to walk away when they have children. A lot of women feel like they can just suck it up and be the heart of the relationship. And I just had a conversation with a very good friend of mine yesterday who's a social worker, and she said a lot of the times women have to be the heart of the relationship, especially if the man is all logic and all mind. But I don't think that's fair, because although yin and yang and opposites do attract and you can learn from someone who's completely different from you, where there is a lack of effort, that's not even a relationship anymore. That's just one person doing. One person can't be the heart and can't keep it together emotionally for two people. So I commend you for deciding that enough was enough. I commend you for telling him, I gave you 3 years. How much more can I give you? And I commend you for going out on a date and liking someone. How soon is too soon? I don't think it's too soon. When you're ready, you're ready. You said you fell out of love with him. You were dissatisfied with him. And if I'm assuming correct and I read your email correctly, you also weren't, there wasn't an intimate relationship anymore between you and this father of your son, which is something I'm experiencing now, where the intimacy is very, very lack. It's lacking, it's non-existent at this point. And I really am in kind of the same boat as you are, even though I'm still with the person that is the father of my child. But man, you're giving me so much strength right now. You're making me really think about my next steps. And your question, even though I got it a couple of weeks ago, today was the first day that I actually read it and let it sink in. So with you asking me that question, it's making me really evaluate a lot of things that I've already been thinking about, which, you know, that's what happens in relationships. That's what happens when you've been with someone for 3, 4, 5 years, especially when you have children. All this stuff is always swirling in your mind until like one thing happens, or there's a final straw, or you pray to God and you're like, Diosito, por favor, dame algo, una señal, and then boom, and it just clicks and then you move on. And I think that's where you are. You don't seem to have any regrets. You don't seem to feel, yes, I totally get it. I wasn't raised with a father either. And it would hurt my heart to think that my baby boy, Evan, wouldn't be able to see his father every day. But you know what? I've learned that what matters is that both parents are happy. And if you were miserable in that relationship and your partner was miserable in the relationship, that affects the child. Even if you're together and you're amicable, a child deserves to be in a household where there's true, genuine love. So they learn how to truly, genuinely love someone without conditions. And then they attract a partner and a love that's healthy. So again, kudos to you. Go out and date. This guy sounds fabulous, by the way, this new guy. The fact that he's a single dad or a dad and he decided to, well, he's a single dad because then he would be cheating. I had to catch myself. And he's a single dad and he had to, you know, go on a date with you with your child and he was so great about it. That says a lot. So I would say trust your gut. I know you're scared. Trust me. I know you don't want to make the same mistakes because, yeah, you broke up with one relationship and you don't want to continue the cycle because then, ¿pa qué fue eso, right? Why did you end something to get into something that's just as unhealthy for you and for your son? I would say trust your gut. And I would also say to really think about your last relationship and think about the qualities that were lacking in your partner that you realize that you need and want. The needs are more important than the wants because oftentimes, and I talk about this in my coaching course, if you go to lovesuhiri.com, you'll be able to get information on the coaching course. A lot of the times what we want and what we need, they contradict themselves, right? So like, let's say you wanted a man who was super hardworking and was all about his money, but then you need quality time. Well, oftentimes a man that's super hardworking, all about his money, is going to be working so hard that he's not going to be physically there to give you quality time. So the needs and also your love language. I also wrote about the 5 love languages by Gary Chapman. Pick up that book. It's an amazing book to learn what you need to feel loved. And also whoever your partner is, maybe it's this guy, maybe it's another one. He can do the quiz also and read the book. So then you all know from the get-go what you both need to be loved and how you both interpret and show love. So just really think about those qualities and the type of relationship that you need, the value system. Should the guy be spiritual? Should he be family oriented? Should he be social? Should he be, you know, all these things that we don't really think about because when we meet someone, it's all attraction and chemistry. And yeah, there's things in common. And yeah, he seems to be family oriented. But when we see these red flags or these lacking qualities, we try to brush it underneath the table and be like, oh, okay, it's okay. It doesn't matter because love will conquer all. But as you know, when a baby comes in the mix and as time goes on, love isn't enough. Love is enough to keep you together only if you have commonalities, the same value system, and want the same thing to grow a relationship. So evaluate that. So then when you do go out to date, whether you continue dating the single dad who seems wonderful so far and very, very compassionate and tolerant, which is very important in a partner for me, or if it's another person that you meet, once you have those things in your mind, those qualities and traits and the type of relationship that you know that you need and you want and you are manifesting in your life, when you see the bullshit, you're going to be like, nope. So you're not going to repeat the cycle because you're going to be so aware while you're dating of who you are and what you want and what you need and the type of relationship that will fulfill you and the type of partner that's going to fulfill you and is going to complement you and grow and build with you that it's going to just be easy. It's just going to come as second nature. So hopefully I answer your question. Just congrats on getting out of a bad situation. Congrats on being an amazing mom. And congrats on your future and putting yourself out there and really being open to love again. That's not easy. That is not easy. All right, so I'm going to go on to the next question. This one is by a single woman. And she also emailed me in June. Again, I've been a little backtracked, people. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Life has been crazy. All right, this person will also like to remain anonymous. I feel like I need to drink some water or I need to like blow my nose. Maybe I should stop the podcast. Oh, real life people. Hashtag real life. Oh my God. People who listen to this must be like for the first time, like, what is wrong with this person? What is wrong with Love Suhaiti? By the way, you can follow me at Love Suhaiti on social media. Little plug there. All right. Next question. And this is what she has to say and what she needs help with. So I'm messaging you today because I need your advice. I have been dating for a while now, and the last guy I dated was recently. We met in November of last year and started dating in December. I felt he and I had a connection and had a lot of things in common. somewhat similar culture. He's Haitian. She's Dominican by, you know, I know the girl, so I'm going to give a little tidbit, even though she didn't say it. We even flew to the Dominican Republic together for a friend's wedding. Everything was great. And I guess it is always the it always is in the beginning. He was unemployed when we met, had been laid off. And I had started my new job in the city in November, but we would talk and FaceTime almost every night. And then he eventually got an offer in February, and it was great. He was busy learning and training. He's an accountant, which I understand can be a very demanding job. As time went on, the less I was hearing from him. No texts, no calls, nothing. Caps, people, in caps. It was always me initiating conversations and receiving short responses. 4 months into the dating phase, he tells me he doesn't desire to rush into things because he doesn't feel ready. Red flag, I think. Yes, girl, red flag. Doesn't feel a connection. In my head, I'm thinking, of course there's no connection. We barely talk and there's no communication. I let him know what and how I feel about it. Told him we need to communicate, talk, have open conversations. He says it's more than just texts and calls. I get it, but how do we get to the cross? How do we get to cross that bridge? I felt he was no longer interested in the person that I am. I was only concerned with having sex. Long story short, things ended. He did say a few things that did hurt my feelings. He stated I needed to grow up, that he felt he was dating a little girl in a 30-year-old body, that a relationship takes more than just texts and calls. I'm fully aware of that, but he failed to understand where I was coming from. It was always me initiating conversations to receive short responses back like I'm a bit too busy now. He is 40 years old, by the way. I don't think I was asking for much. Simply a phone call here and there to see that he was actually interested in me. A text saying good morning. Little things that didn't matter to him but does to me. He would go MIA for weeks. I am in no way exaggerating. On two different occasions, we stopped talking for 3 to 4 weeks. And he would appear back in my life like nothing happened and expect things to be the same. And I wasn't okay with that, as you should not be. How do you go MIA and expect me to go out of my way? He lives an hour away from me to have sex. I felt used the last 2 times we hung out since March, and it was always at his place. What do you think? I honestly feel like I was not asking for much. Whoa, whoa, whoa! That's the first thing that I thought initially when getting that email. Aside from my whoa, I have to say that this is something that I'm very familiar with. I have been in your shoes. I can't help but wonder if this was for him more of a fun transitional type of thing from being laid off and kind of laying low and not having lots to do. And I say this because you said that you met in November and started dating in December, and then he started getting funky in February. December, January, February, that's 3 months. And I have this thing with 3 months in relationships. In my experience and what I've seen and with other women, the women that I've advised, men usually after 3 months, if they don't want something serious with the woman, they kind of start pulling away, because after 3 months, it's no longer just like a fun fling thing. 3 months quickly becomes 6 months, which quickly becomes a year, right? Which is a full-blown relationship. So I feel like the three-month period for a man especially is like the getting to know the girl period to see if maybe I want more than just the sex, the attraction, and the company. For me, it seems that he maybe didn't want a relationship to begin with. I don't know if he said that he ever wanted a relationship to begin with, or you assume that because of his treatment of you. You do mention going to a wedding with him to Dominican Republic. I don't know how that happened, if he was at the wedding with you or he was invited to the wedding also and that's how you guys got together, or you actually invited him or he invited you and that's how it happened. But the thing is that a lot of us women, we get so caught up with, oh, but he invited me to a wedding and I was his date at a wedding, and who does that if they're not serious with someone? Oh, but he, you know, introduced me to his cousins, and if he wasn't serious about me, then he wouldn't have introduced me to his cousins, which isn't wrong. Usually people do those behaviors when they're interested enough to want to get more serious with the person that they're dating. But sometimes people just do it because they want the company or they want to have fun with the person. And then maybe initially they want to potentially get serious, and then they get to know the person a little bit more and they're like, eh, maybe not. Maybe you're just not the girl for me or the guy for me. I also feel like he's been very clear with you with his behavior, his other behavior, not texting, not communicating, pulling away, saying he's too busy to talk, when behavior flips like that, all of a sudden, you're up my ass, and then 2 months later, you're like, 2 weeks? You haven't talked to me in 2 weeks? What? Really? Crickets? I have to initiate everything? That, to me, is behavior of a man who was just interested in some fun. The time was ticking. 3 months were coming up. Then he got his job, so he's focused on his new thing. And he's not taking you seriously enough and really wants a relationship with you seriously enough to really pursue it any further and give you any time of day. That's how I read that. Also, the whole him calling you immature, I don't know what that's about, but I'm going to tell you this from experience. You do not want to be with a man who is tearing you down from the jump. Again, you do not want to be with a man who is tearing you down from the jump. He's not even your man yet. It was only a 3-month thing with him not even communicating properly and seeing you and hanging out with you besides here and there for sex on a continuous basis. So the fact that he's already criticizing you and trying to make you feel bad about who you are and pinning this on you is a red flag, literally blaring horns, get the fuck away from this man sign. Like, don't even sweat this dude, man. Because let me tell you, he's trying to make you feel bad about yourself and make you feel like this is on you instead of manning up and saying, hey, this was just fun for me. I'm sorry if I misled you, but I'm just interested in a physical relationship with you. Are you down? But men sometimes are cowards, and instead of doing that, they push the woman away, they stop texting, they ghost, they breadcrumb, all those little dating terms. Men do it because they're too afraid to confront the woman and say, this was fun, but I'm not interested anymore, or I'm not interested in you that way. I just thought you were pretty and wanted to get a taste. They don't want to do it because they don't want the backlash. They don't want to do it because they don't want to look like assholes. So instead, they flip the script and make you feel like it's on you. Like, this is your fault. Like, you're not mature enough. You're sweating me. You're too needy. And then they make us look fucking crazy. Which is why almost every guy that I have ever dated, and a lot of women can relate to this, when I ask, well, what happened with you and your ex? Oh, she was crazy. Or she was a mess. Or she was jealous. Maybe you drive us to do crazy things and make drive us to be jealous. So, honey bunny, whom I actually know, please do not let this man make you feel like there's something wrong with you. And don't let this man make you feel like you have to change something for him. You are not asking for much. You are not asking for anything that any woman would not ask for when she is dating a man and being intimate with a man and believing that this is going to lead to something more than just sex and a fling. So it's his bad, it's his loss, and I hope that you've moved on. And if this dude comes back into your life, which often happens, because the thing is that you might have already created a dynamic with him that he feels that he can come in and out of your life, because he feels he's got you like that. That he's like, he's got you sprung. So the fact that you've driven an hour, and let me tell you, you sound so much like me. I was so self-sacrificial with guys that I liked. I would go above and beyond to try to make things work. I will go above and beyond to try to get a guy to like me. If he didn't want to come to me, I will go to his place. If it was just at 2 a.m, I would go because that was something. Something sometimes is worse than nothing. So stand your ground. Don't let this guy come in and out of your life, because once you set that tone, I say this all the time, women set the tone and men set the pace. Once you set the tone in the relationship, and that is the dynamic that you have, that paradigm of, okay, I'm allowing you to treat me this way. It is okay for you to talk to me that way. It is okay for us to have this type of relationship, for me to be the one that's always contacting you and initiating and you just laying low because I'm the one that's doing all the work. Then it's always going to continue that way. You can shift it if the man wants it shifted and if the man is interested enough in shifting it. But if it's you doing all the work to try to make a relationship work, whether it's this one or the next, and you are the one that's constantly doing and going above and beyond and trying to have conversations and communicating and trying to build that rapport and that connection, then it's always going to be the case. And a lot of men will keep a woman on a leash, on a string, or as I say, on the shelf like a book, until they want to go pick it up and read it again and flip through the pages, and then they get bored and then they want to go read another book. So don't be the girl on the shelf. Don't be the girl that's going to set the tone of disrespect me, coming in and out of my life. I'ma take it. It's okay. All right, all, that's it for me. Love, Sue Haiti Talks are all here on Revolved Podcast. I hope I inspired some of you. I hope I got y'all to think about your role in relationships and what you can do differently to be treated better, because you are all valuable. That's something that I'm actively working on in my life and my relationship. I'm also getting closer to God, which has really helped me stand on my own 2 feet and stand up for myself in all avenues and all ways. So hit me up on social media at Love Sue Haiti if you have any questions. Love, sex, dating, and relationships. I am here to help. I will answer your question. Once a month is what I am. That's my goal. Once a month, I'll do an Ask Sue Haiti. But if I get a ton more questions, then what I'll do it twice a month. And yes, that could be in a couple of months, depending on how much I actually do a podcast. But I'm going to try really hard. The thing is that all we can do is try our best. And that's what I'm learning. Trying our best is all we can do. And that should be enough in relationships and in work and everything. So I'm trying my best to get more content to you in all my streams and all my social media platforms. So again, hit me up at Love Sue Haiti on social media, all the platforms, Love Sue Haiti on YouTube, lovesuehaiti.com on the website. Go on Facebook, Love Sue Haiti. I'm there. I'm super active on Facebook, not as much on Instagram. And that's it for me. Have an amazing, amazing day. Until next time.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with Geico, we hired a soap opera star.
Gracious me, my car has storm damage and I've had to file a claim. Could it possibly get worse? Will my claims team leave me for someone else? Someone less intense?
No. Actually, when you file a claim with Geico, you get your own dedicated claims team who promises to stay with you throughout the process.
Oh, I've never known such loyalty. I can't wait for the second season.
Geico. Great service without all the drama.
There have never been more options for your next vehicle, but the right choice has never been clearer. That's because Toyota has a high-performing hybrid built for your exact needs, like the stylish all-new Camry XSE Hybrid and Venza, the spacious Highlander and all-new Sienna with more cargo space, and the fuel-efficient and high-performing RAV4 Hybrid. Toyota hybrids save you time and money, filling up less often at the gas station. And of course, all with 10-year, 150,000-mile warranty on new models. Take the next step. Visit Toyota.com/hybrid or your local Toyota dealership to learn more.